Ladies and gentlemen, your old pal EZ with a few words about my latest and greatest partner, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. My goodness. Prize Picks, what I love is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, and all you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Check this out. One. Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in the month of September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Also, good news, Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in most states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still alive. How about this for a lineup? Tyreek Hill for more than 90 receiving yards. Dak Prescott for more than 263 passing yards. Josh Allen for less than 240 passing yards. And CeeDee Lamb for more than 96 receiving yards. Then you watch, you root, you have fun. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Eric Zane and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code Eric Zane, of course, on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Well, as you folks know, we do this in the Back Alley Comedy Club studios, and appearing this weekend, the one and only Mitch Fatale. Mitch, how are you?
I was almost attacked by 10 dogs when I came in here.
You know,
all of the cute dogs, I just felt.
It's incredible. There's always this moment of great trepidation when I get visitors, yeah. Because here we are in this home in the middle of.
Beautiful home, by the way.
Thank you very
much.
Wouldn't
mind staying here instead of the hotel, just saying.
Yeah, you know, we are very accommodating. If you want to, there's a little bit of distance between us, but all of the guests are welcome.
And what's the smell? There's like this great smell when
my wife was making Italian food. So
forget the show, man. I'm staying over for dinner.
You know what's funny? And a lot of the audience knows this. Stephen Michael Quezada from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
He appeared at the same clubs.
Uh-huh.
And he came in one day with Ricardo. And I go, "Are you guys hungry?" And they go, "Yeah, actually we are." I go, "Let's have eggs." So we cooked eggs.
I don't want eggs. I want whatever your wife's cooking. Well, it smells so good.
My point is, I love food for the guests.
Yeah.
So if we had more time,
Big ZD for Mitch Fatale. That's in my rider, man.
She could send you one of those care packages, like and then you could just heat it up when you get to.
So
wherever.
First of all, just even smelling food, because I'm a new dad. My son is
17
months old, and it's beautiful. But we haven't cooked. We just eat stuff out of to-go containers.
My gosh.
So I haven't smelled just cooked
like
food.
Like a home-cooked food. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, let's start there. 17-month-old boy or girl. I'm sorry.
It's a boy.
Okay.
Yeah,
and that's fantastic.
Changed my life. How many kids do you have?
3.
Do you love it?
Yeah. And it's funny because they're all grown, but raising my kids, I loved every bit of that.
I didn't think I'd like it this much.
I think the one thing, I try not to inundate people with, "Oh, I've been through it all, so this is what it is."
Right.
But I will tell you this.
Beat my kid.
No.
Is that what you're about to say?
Because
I agree.
No.
No, okay. No. All right.
You know, they're 23, 21, and 16.
Yeah.
All of those terrible moments that are the end of the world.
Yeah.
You will forget them all.
Right.
And if you don't, they're funny.
Yeah.
So
that's a great point.
I think it's all temporary because, you know.
Well, first of all, and you're right. What I've realized is, first of all, most of the bad stuff happens not because of him. It's because of lack of sleep. You're just not.
Yeah.
So the other day I was, your fans on Facebook would probably see him a very handsome man.
Sure.
Because I take very good care of myself.
Right.
I'm very healthy. And so when I wake up in the morning, I have the most, this disgusting shake to keep me alive.
Okay.
It's got spirulina in it.
I don't know what that
powder
is.
It's just, it's all good stuff.
Okay.
It'll keep you healthy. You get a lot of erections. it's really, really good stuff. And it's disgusting. It's just gross what I have.
All right.
But spirulina, if you've ever seen spirulina, it's this very soft, fine green powder.
Okay.
And so I'm watching the child out of the corner of my eye as usual. And because you're always aware of him, I'm always aware to make sure that he doesn't, because I want to be a good dad. I don't want him to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always looking at him. And I turn because I'm always paying attention to him, and I knock the spirulina. Now, if you know anything about spirulina, it's a pasty, and it just covers the entire kitchen floor and the freeze.
It seeps like the Exxon Valdez
oil
spill.
It's there months later now. And,
okay.
You know, and then you're just like, so now you have to clean that up while the baby's crawling in it.
Oh.
And you're like, why did I do this?
Perfect.
I had such a good life.
Yes.
But I did the same thing as you. Now it's worth it because it's just so freaking fun.
Yeah.
Somehow God figured it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
He made them cute enough that it's worth all the pain.
Yes, that is great, man. And, kids are, they keep comics alive. I don't know if you'd ever change your act, but the fact that you now have, I've been able to do a radio career because of my family. And I'm not bullshitting.
Right.
Somehow I developed some acumen about storytelling, and I just would parlay the moment and just talk about it.
Yeah.
And holy crap, I could write a book. I don't know why I haven't. It's remarkable.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I, first of all, never thought I was going to have a kid.
Okay.
And second of all, you seem to me to be a very, like, as soon as I met you, I was like, I like you. You're ingratiating people.
You
have a likability about
Thank you.
So I don't think you understand that. Like, I'm assuming you had a great childhood. Did you? To be that, because you have a good way.
My parents were divorced, but I was very happy.
Okay,
for the most part,
so I was miserable.
Okay,
so and I had a bad dad, and I don't even mean bad in an evil way. My dad had Asperger's. He's still alive. He has Asperger's.
Okay.
We didn't know he had Asperger's growing up, so he's a very socially unattached guy.
Ah.
He's mean. He means well, but he doesn't know he's hurting people with his words.
Okay.
Having said that, I never thought I'd have a child. And then further, when I told my wife that my wife says, like, I want to have a baby. And I said, okay, though, I have one rule. It's got to be a girl. I said, and she said, well, what happens if we have a boy? And I go, I won't love it. I will not love it. I'll pay for it, but I won't talk to it because I won't know how to be a dad, and I don't want a boy. And she kept saying, okay, but this is up to you to make a boy or a girl, not up to me.
Right.
And I was like, you can do all the technicalities you want. Just make sure it's a girl. So she got pregnant
There's like tricks you can.
We did all the tricks.
You did all the.
We made.
The moon is
the
out.
Position. Yeah. Put it this way. You know how we saw a lot of dogs when I walked in here?
Yep.
That had something to do with trying to get a girl. So anyway, you got to do. So everybody said it's a girl. We didn't get tested because we didn't want to. Because I said, if we get tested and find out it's a boy, I'll probably leave. I'll probably go to Mexico.
Okay.
So I was like, so let's not find out. So, and then we did all the fun little stuff you're supposed to do. We did, and everybody said, it's a girl. It's a girl. I could tell it's a girl the way she's carrying. She likes to eat fruit. She howls at the moon at night, like all kinds of stuff that you're like, okay, it's a girl. Comes out. I was like, there's a nice big old penis. I was like, that's no girl. That's no girl. And I immediately was like, oh my God, I love my son so much. And I hate to be overly sentimental.
No, it's true.
But I didn't understand it until he was born. And then I understood that, like, the universe didn't give me a girl because I needed a boy to give him the childhood and the dad that I never had.
Uh-huh.
So this goes full circle.
Yes.
Right.
And that's the thing. You when you think that way, and because I think that way, too, on a lot of things.
Yeah.
So you're completely preaching to the choir.
But what you were saying about stories. So my wife said, you're going to probably write so much material about the baby. And I said, no, because it's a very personal thing to me and very spiritual that I had a boy that had a son I'm going to raise. And I said, and it's very private to me.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of other people, I'm never going to make jokes about him.
Okay.
But within 3 months, I was like, nice. Oh my God, there's so much good stuff here.
So much. My God, it's awesome.
So now my whole act is about him. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And it's better material than I've ever had before. So I didn't realize how much it definitely inspires you. And you, like you said, from your stories, there's just a wealth of stuff that I feel like I've evolved as a comedian.
Oh, man. So take us back to when you first started. Was it set them up, knock them down? I mean, I always love to hear the genesis of a comic because it's always an amazing story.
I had an awesome career. There was a really big... I had a lot of success very early on, and then I did probably what a lot of comedians are known to do. It would probably be very weird not to have done this, but I stagnated at a point. I had become very successful. I'd gotten 2 Comedy Central specials, and I hadn't evolved. I started to... My last Comedy Central special was horrible. Most people probably won't admit that, but it was terrible. And the reason why it was terrible was because I was dialing it in. I realize now, looking back, I was dialing it in. I didn't have as much love for the writing anymore. And I was just kind of going through the motions because I'd gotten a certain success and a certain fame. And so I was offered an hour special and I didn't have the material for it. And I kind of insulted my audience by thinking I could just put crappy material out there but sell it. Which is, you know,
I do this
Dave
daily.
Cook's entire
I'm
career.
Not, I'm not kidding.
So,
I have this battle daily. Yeah. Sometimes I sit down here to talk for 30, 40 minutes or whatever, and I'm not prepared. I haven't done the legwork.
Right.
And I get in my head that I can do it. Every time I've done that, it sucks. Terrible.
Sucks.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And I know it and I hear it. And this audience, they tell me, and it's like, oh, God. And I get so pissed.
And
I get pissed at me.
Yeah.
I get pissed at me, but it's like, ugh.
But isn't life, Eric, like learning to humble yourself? You're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are. That's what I always kind of always say about me.
Yeah, like, that's true.
You know, and so I think what happened is there was that. So I started out as a very, as a young comedian, I used to like talking about the fact that my whole entire life, I loved girls and wasn't the jock and I wasn't the, rock star guy, but I knew I could make them laugh. So my whole entire act was about just trying to get girls to let me touch them in their private areas. And it was very successful for me very early on. And then I started getting older. And one of the worst things that can happen to anybody in show business is you get older, because I don't think you realize you've gotten older until one day you realize you're older.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course it does.
Yeah. And so I had gotten older and now the act wasn't working as well. And I just tried to oversell it.
Yeah.
And then I met my wife and everything changed, because now all of a sudden I evolved as a comedian. And here's an interesting story. When I first met my wife, and I told her when we got married, listen, my act has been very successful for many years on me being a single guy talking about how I like girls. And if I'm married, it's going to ruin my career. So I'm going to not say I'm married. I'm not going to wear my ring on stage.
Okay.
And my wife, to her credit,
wow,
said, you do what you have to do for your career. I would never think to tell you how to run your career. And then one day I realized, if I take off my ring, that makes me the worst thing I've ever thought someone is, which is a phony.
Have you ever... Your self-awareness to... I mean, it's one thing to do it, but you figure it out, though. I mean...
Well, you try, right? Yeah, you do the best job you can to figure it out.
Does some just start chewing on you? Is it an intrinsic thing, or is it...
Yeah.
Because I get that, too, when it's like, that just doesn't seem right to me, and it's just some start screaming
at
you.
Isn't that great that we are
bells go
of that,
off clanging in your head?
I believe that everybody has those bells and that inner voice, and I think some people just get really good at pushing that voice away, and then sometimes it gets too late before you realize I should have listened to that voice.
Right.
Because there's a couple of specials I did where I was like, I shouldn't be doing this, and I think it's good, and I knew it wasn't. So the voices were in my head telling me, you know, that it I'm sorry, where were we? I just got totally off. I can go in so many different directions.
Sure. No, no. I mean, you're talking about how, like, that when that does happen, listening to it and adjusting. So you had with your wife, you were like, you take the ring off.
Oh, okay, right. That's where we were. Thank you for getting me back on track. So what gnawed at me was this. You know, the only thing I've ever hated in my life is phonies. And whenever you find a phony, when you see someone, there's a comedian who stole a bit of mine and he did it on TV. And when I was watching him, my wife was madder than I was. And she said, "Why aren't you mad that this comedian stole your bit and did it on TV?" And I said, "Because I feel kind of bad for him because he kind of knows he's not real." Like, and that would be the worst thing.
Yeah,
to be
that's a
phony.
Tough one.
I just thought I was like, okay, God bless you. You have, because the laughs aren't yours. Nothing's yours. And so I said to my wife one day, I was like, you know something, my whole life, I keep saying how funny I am. And the truth of the matter is if being married means that I'm no longer funny, then I wasn't probably funny to begin with. So have to change my act.
No, man, you got it.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
And then luckily it worked better than it did before. So,
the writing process for you, I love hearing how comics write. I mean, because to me, do some sit down and say for every day, for half an hour, I'm just going to go over things in my head.
That's funny you say that.
You know what I mean? Kind of like a routine. Yeah. Or is it just when it hits you, you write it down?
Yeah. Well, it's really funny you say that because everybody's got their different method of writing, and I thank Jerry Seinfeld for my method, because when I first started as an open micer, I had a roommate who was in comedy, and he used to get up on stage and write all his bits out live as he was doing it. And I was like, and I just stupidly and naively at that time thought, like, that's how you write. Like, you get on stage. And so if you look at some old videos or tapes, I mean, I was horrible. And for some bizarre reason, I spoke with an Italian accent. I don't know. I found a tape of me and I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know what it was.
What year do you think this was? Because
88?
This is Dice Realm, isn't it? Were you maybe influenced by Andrew Dice Clay?
I think I was just always didn't want to be picked on as a kid, and I thought the Italian kids in school were tough. Yeah. So I was always trying to act tough. I guess I was scared to be on stage.
I used to do that in radio. When I would hear radio people that I liked, I would actually steal their mannerisms.
Isn't that
and
what
their
we all,
catchphrases.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we all start, though, I think.
I was so dumb about it, though, because I was only like 60 miles out of the market of the guy that I heard it in. So people were like, quit doing that. You sound just like, you're trying to sound like so-and-so. Yeah. You sound like shit. So,
yeah, but I'm not mad at comics for doing that now, and I'm not mad at myself for doing it now, because when you start out in any business, you're so scared.
Right.
You're so scared shitless of like being disliked. So you immediately you can't just go up with a developed character. So you go off of the people that inspire you. I was very inspired by Steve Martin. So I wrote tons of bits that I could picture Steve Martin saying. And then I'd get up on stage, and they would just die. And I was like, "Why? Why is it dying?" Like, if it's so, I'll say it more like Steve Martin did. And it was
God
just horrible.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, one day, you turn a corner and you start to find out who you are, and you start to develop your own character. And that's you know. And I remember that. I remember distinctly as I started doing well.
Right.
And it's a good feeling.
That's tremendous. When you've got a little mojo, a little swagger.
Right.
Doing like I gave you the background of this podcast. I was a deer in the headlights up until, I still am from time to time if I'm not ready.
Sure.
But I'm learning what I need to do to be ready and to not let that happen. And so you do figure it out. And it's an entirely a great feeling when you sit down and say, I just sat here for an hour alone and into that camera. And I know I killed it.
Yeah.
Conversely, there's those other days too. It's like, you're the worst.
Dude, there are so many times I'm on stage and I'll try out a new joke. And it kills, and I just in my head pump my arms because it feels so good. And then on the other side of it, I'll try out a joke that I thought was funny, and then I'll beat myself up the whole ride home, going like, "Why would I think that was funny?" Or like, "Why did I? I've been doing this for 28 years, and I thought that that was gonna get a laugh." So,
yeah,
and you still beat yourself up.
I struggle when someone on a day that I know it's bad, someone reaches out and says, "That was so great." And I want to almost get into a fight with them to tell them, "No, it wasn't. And here's why it sucked." But I'm like, that would be really weird.
You know, it is weird. And you know what I hate? I hate when I come off stage and I know I did bad and someone said, "Hey, are you a basketball fan?"
Yeah, well, I follow it.
So I had to stop watching basketball because it started to bother me. And what started to bother me was the whole, well, slap hands even when you miss the free throw. Because then I thought to myself, that's like when I die, I don't like coming off people going like, you did great. Like, or hey, you nailed. Because I'm like, well, I don't deserve it then. So I'm always like, well, what's the point of making the free throw if you're getting the congratulations? So it pissed me off. And I'm like, and it became this thing now where if you don't congratulate the guy for missing, then you look like the dick.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah,
but there's got to be a consequence for going like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, because if I was the guy, I would tell my teammates, this is why I could never play on a team sport. Please don't shake my hand if I miss.
Right.
Because I don't want to get.
Right.
Because there's nothing worse than people congratulating you on something that you didn't really earn.
Yes.
I hate that
feeling. Yes. They should. Yeah. You should encourage them to give him the finger or something, or just nothing at all.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Well, it's his job. He's supposed to make free throws.
Just turn your head. I mean, we all know we sucked. And, you know, that I would just much rather be treated like that. And then that way, when you get the handshakes, it means something.
Right,
we're a weird society lately where a lot of rewards without actually earning them. So I feel very like an old, miserable, you know, curmudgeon when I talk about stuff.
That's okay.
Like that,
that's good, though. That's fun. People love that.
Yeah.
For the Facebook audience, this is Mitch Fatel. And now a lot of you have been talking about that's for the live audience that are watching on this.
Hi, live
and
audience.
Then, of course, you listening to the recording, you know who this is because it says right at the beginning. But,
and I'm like super famous.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You just totally bullshitted that.
Right? Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah. You just gave me the proverbial handshake after missing the free throw on that
you
one.
You caught that. Thank you. You're sharp. That was pretty easy to pick out.
Well, at least you're not a phony. Yep. I could tell. Yeah.
Friday and Saturday now at Back Alley Comedy Club. Now, tonight you're going up to Howard City. So that's a Thursday night deal, of course. But Friday and Saturday at Back Alley, you've got, I think you have two shows Friday, right?
I think I have two shows tonight.
Two shows tonight.
And then they wanted to do this some way. I don't know what the situation is. I think I got it right, but I think it's two tonight, and it's one tomorrow and one on Saturday.
Okay.
I think that's what
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. BackAlleyComedyClub.com. Get tickets and go see Mitch. Before I wrap this up.
Yes, sir.
Can you were, when you were very young, one of your first things you did in show business was you were an intern on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
I mean, this is incredible. I mean, anyone associated with that show to me is an interesting person in their own right just for that. I mean, let alone you're a great comic with great stories.
Thank you, sir.
But the fact that you were part of that show, was it 19... What?
Okay, so let's talk about this now. It was probably 1986.
Okay.
Or 87.
So was this just in New York?
This is just in New York. He had just gotten syndicated to Philly.
Oh, my God. You were there for the DiBella War.
I was there for the DiBella
War. The slaughter.
And as a matter of fact, I met DiBella later. He was a gentleman to me. And we talked about that whole period.
Yeah.
And he talks about how miserable it was. And the saddest part about it was, I don't know if you've ever met DiBella.
No.
He is a sweetheart. He's just an absolute gem of a human being. And the last person you'd want this to happen to. And I was part of the team that tried to bring him down.
Yes.
And I didn't have to apologize. It was all Howard. But, you know, do you know that Howard called him once and apologized to him?
I know that Howard had been on an apology tour as he's gotten older. He's become very... he's facilitated a lot of those things over the years.
Yeah,
I understand.
Which makes sense. And that makes sense because we grow up.
People do that.
Yeah, we grow up. And no matter how many times people tell you, until you make millions and millions of dollars and until you're very famous, you realize it doesn't make you happy. And so, you know, it's funny. I was 3-4 years ago. No, probably before I met my wife, I was making close to $1 million a year and I was miserable. I was making almost $1 million in comedy and I was miserable. The last couple of years when I remade myself, I took about 5 years off from TV because I wanted my next special, which is coming out this summer, to be great. And I started making a lot less money and happier than ever. So isn't that weird how that works out?
Yeah, it does. It really does. You know, and then we just hope to find the sweet spot, if you will.
That right in between.
Yeah.
It's just.
So you working with him and then, that whole DiBella thing. For those who don't know, Howard got syndicated to Philly and there was a guy who was doing very well there. And then Howard beat him very handily.
And he was also vicious about it.
He was very mean about it. It's written in one of his books. It's a great story. But and you were there and you saw it. And then you introduced John.
Stuttering John.
Stuttering John to Howard.
Was my classmate. And he was very impressed that I was working for the Howard Stern show. We were very young at that time. And so working for Howard Stern was like working for, you know, big star. And I was the big star in class because I worked on that show. And he kept saying to me, can you tell him about me? I can't do a stutter and that's mean. But so I kept saying, yeah, yeah. And I blow him off. He was a really annoying guy. And then I wasn't planning on stopping the Howard Stern show, but then I got in a really big car crash and I totaled my car and had to leave because I didn't have any way to get into the city anymore to go on the show. So I went to Howard one morning and I was like, hey, I have to leave. But I said, I'm sorry to see you go. And I said, I have a guy that wants to fill in, that wants to do my job. I don't know if he'd work though, because he stutters. And before I could finish the word stutter, he said, hire him. I swear that's exactly this. Hire him. He never even met him. And that's the story of Stuttering John.
Freaking.
Isn't that weird? The circuitous way life works. Yeah, I just happened to be there at that time. And yeah.
It really is.
Crazy.
Mitch, you're great.
You're great too,
wish
man.
We
Let's
had like
this
another
again.
Hour.
I wish I could have gotten here.
We could have
eaten. So.
We could have played with the dogs. We could have gone for a walk. Dude, with the dogs.
I want to move my wife here and just, seriously, you'd love my kid. He's so cute. Just don't keep Spirulina around.
Yeah, right.
It'll get all over your dog.
Okay. This is great. Go see Mitch at
hey,
Back Alley.
Hey, continued success,
Friday
man. You're doing
Thank
really
you.
Well for
Thank
yourself,
you so
and
much.
That's pretty cool, man.
We're
You're a good guy.
It. We're working it. Yeah. We'll get there.
I have a new special coming out. My
Thank
promise
you.
To you is that if I become humongously famous, I promise I will every now and then look at a picture of you and say, I like that guy. I promise that.
Just remember, now, you had to come to my house and smell the food.
Yeah, I will be back.
Tell me, is there anything else I'm forgetting? I'm always terrible at promoting
good.
Things.
You're fine, man.
I just want to, you'll find them. Just
same,
search Mitch
I'm the
Fatel.
Same way. I don't promote crap.
It's all there. If you like them, you'll find them. We all do. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Find me.
All right.
Freaks.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.